With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Good morning, Crispin. How are you doing today?
Great, Errol. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Guy, you have got your hands on a book here that I swear it could come with its own movie soundtrack. Dun, 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 dun. Top Secret.
That's a good idea. Maybe we should insert a little music chip.
Right. I mean, you could, you know, host your own podcast and just do, you know, create your own little environment and atmosphere, because there's so many inspirational things going on inside this book. It's like, man, this could be the rest of your life, dude.
Well, cool. Yeah, it's definitely a journey into a smorgasbord of top secret information.
Well, the one thing that's really cool about this is that you allow the little kids and even the middle age and the high school students to do something that we've all wanted to be a spy, and you give us that book. You challenge us to start looking at things a little bit differently in this real world we live in.
Oh yeah, thanks that's the whole goal of the book, not just to demystify spies and talk about what they do, the job. It's been around forever, since going all the way back to ancient Egypt, but also kind of debunk some of the myths that you see in movies about super suave spies, and, you know, martial arts and drive fancy sports cars. And it's really a job about blending in and not making, you know, not creating a giant fireball and not getting into fights all the time. Because if you're a spy and you end up getting into a fight or jumping off a roof or leaping from a helicopter, then you probably failed at your mission and you're going to get fired or captured.
Well, you bring up martial arts. I mean, one of the things that caught my attention right away was ninjas walking on water. I'm a third degree black belt, man. I mean, I can walk on flypaper, but man, walking on water is a completely different thing.
Yeah, I think that's one of those mysteries that the ninja have taken with them. You know, they apparently developed special, extra buoyant, or possibly almost like pontoon shoes to walk across. But, you know, ninjas, just like spies, a lot of it is reputation. So they were all about infiltrating, castles, but also infiltrating an enemy warlord society. So it was also creating kind of a mystique about them and then blending in. That's cool. You can walk on flypaper.
The book we're talking about is Top Secret, Uncovering the World's Best Spy Agencies. Is that like showing people how to do a magic trick?
There's a code that you don't really talk about this stuff.
Right.
Like there's a code with magic. But really the basic rule with tradecraft, I think, is pretty well known and pretty universal from spy agency to spy agency. And we break down, you know, these spy do's and don'ts. And really, the one of the major spy do's is just don't trust anybody. Because if you're a spy, you basically create it's called a legend, a backstory for yourself that you have to learn backwards and forwards. You take on a new name, a new identity, and possibly a new career, new expertise, and you've infiltrated this foreign entity, whether it's a government or even a corporation, and your life literally depends on you living this legend that you've created for yourself. So these are the kinds of things, you know, little kids might, you know, a young leader might be like, well, that seems pretty intense. I'm not necessarily into that. But they could instead just learn how to create secret codes. They could pass to their friends. or learn how to make their own spy network amongst their own friends. And more than anything, they'll learn things in the book that maybe their parents don't know, which is always fun for a young reader.
Well, what about, because there are listeners that are sitting there going, well, what happens if I want to be a double spy? That's breaking the rules right there, is it not?
Well, that's the thing about, I think, being a spy is, I don't know if there are any rules. There's double crosses, there are triple crosses. We do profile one spy, we do a profile for different spies in the book. There's one who was a spy for America in World War II, and he went by the name Frick. So he infiltrated Germany as basically he infiltrated a German factory. He was very talented and very skilled in a certain type of engineering. And the Germans called him Fritz, so he became Fritz. Then they discovered he was a spy and offered to let him become a double spy for America. And then that's when he became known as Zigzag. So then he came back to America as a double crosser, but he never really turned on America. So he actually kept lying to the Germans, pretending he was a double agent, but was still helping the American side. So it gets complicated. I think that's ultimately what the lesson is here. The life of a spy can be complicated. I mean, it might be hard to keep track of your identity at times. I could barely keep my schedule straight for the day. Let alone if you had two different lives.
The book we're talking about is Top Secret. So, Crispin, how do you know that I'm not spying on you right now?
You're right. And you know what? I don't. I think so. We're pretty high profile. I think that I don't think we'd be doing it on a national radio program. But
what's really fascinating that listeners need to tap into this on is that you really do take us into this mysterious world, but you do it in a way that's very one-on-one and very understandable. I mean, there's hundreds of top secret truths here. I mean, you set free some things that I would have labeled an urban legend, but you set them free.
Well, thanks. No, that was part of the fun, like looking at these different conspiracy theories or even, mysteries of Bigfoot and kind of debunking and revealing some of the hoaxes that happened. Because it's all, for all intents and purposes, Bigfoot is like a top secret, he's a cryptid, he's a top secret creature. Like whether Bigfoot, he or she, or them, they exist or not, and I'm a skeptic, I want to believe. It certainly is like a secret. If that animal exists, it really got us figured out. It must have its own invisibility cloak or something. But yeah, we cover topics like that and chemtrails and some secret societies. More stuff, not necessarily modern conspiracies. More stuff from history that some time has passed and more fun and more kid friendly.
You bring up Bigfoot, and I got to tell you about a personal experience that I just had. I talked with the experts of Bigfoot, and they spotted one in the Yorkey National Forest, which is just down the highway here in Albemarle, North Carolina. And I said, no way, it's North Carolina. But, dude, they're out there really with the equipment because somebody said they spotted the Bigfoot.
Really?
Yeah, it's in the Yorkey National Forest, which is in North Carolina at Albemarle, and I about fell over when that expert told me that. I'm going, you've got to be kidding me, North Carolina, really?
Yeah, Bigfoot must have gone on a road trip.
<You're>
but, <right. laughs> more of a Pacific Northwest kind of a guy. It sounds beautiful. I actually went to school up in Boone, North Carolina, up in the mountains, so I know it's a beautiful part of the country. I could see Bigfoot taking a trip over there.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you're over there at Baden Lake and all that kind of stuff, and it's like, but see, that's what I love about what it is that you do is that you open the imagination to create conversation, just like we're doing right now with Bigfoot. Because I just picture people reading some, like paragraphs and stuff that you put out there, and they go, "Oh, by the way," but it was always inspired by you, Crispin.
Well, hey, if I inspired one conversation about Bigfoot, then my mission is accomplished. I can retire now.
So now you were talking about living in Boone. Are you a mountaineer? Did you go to Appalachian?
I did, yes. No, that's where I went. That's my alma mater.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah. I spoke up there so many times for the broadcasting up there, for Beasley and stuff like that. That school owns a major chunk of my heart.
Oh, mine too. I mean, it is such a beautiful part of the country. And, I was there in the 90s. I graduated in 95. I love Boone. It's a special place. I just wish I'd have seen a Bigfoot. It's a lot of fun camping.
We'll put you over there on Sugar Mountain and see if we can spot one up there going down there on a pair of skis. the book we're talking about today, right? The book we're talking about today is Top Secret. So my question is, only because I've been trained by Hollywood, do spies really come with gadgets like James Bond?
They do. So a big part of the book does focus on spy gadgets. A lot of these gadgets are from the Cold War, and even going back to World War II. And then, a big part of it. And there are other things, that, like out of a James Bond movie, there's an umbrella that shoots darts, and there's a lipstick that's actually a tiny gun. So these are basically James Bond-style gadgets. But then a lot of it is more practical. What spies need to do is they need to transmit their information out of wherever they are back to their bosses. And so the hidden cameras, the micro cameras that have been around, nowadays you have a GoPro camera that's super tiny and can take 2 hours of video. That would be a spy's dream come true back in the day. But they had to rely on these tiny cameras that use film. So you've got tiny cameras that are mechanical that take pictures on tiny film that then has to be smuggled out and given back to the spy's handlers and then developed. So I think that's some of the more interesting stuff that are these older cameras that are as small as modern cameras but relied on, chemical processes, film. And to the point where they would even put some of these cameras on animals. They would put them on carrier pigeons.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And then let the birds fly over enemy troops. And then, of course, the pigeons would return, and then they would take the film and develop it. So, yeah, there's gadgets for humans. There's gadgets for animals.
I love it. You're always a pleasure to talk with, Crispin, man. You got to come back to the Carolinas sometime. We can get together. We'll go get some Southern barbecue, and we'll sit there and talk about Bigfoot.
I'm there. I'll be there this afternoon.
You'll be brilliant today, okay, sir? And congratulations on your book, Top Secret.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for having me on. I love talking to you.